Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 18 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Having this kind of structure and leadership, in my opinion, is going to make it extremely difficult.
House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins is calling for Speaker Jeff Hoover's formal resignation.
Kentucky State Police are investigating two drive-by shootings in Floyd County.
An escaped inmate in Boyd County has been apprehended.
Republican lawmakers are calling for pension reform in Frankfort, but a revised bill has yet to surface.
A former Rowan County magistrate is running for judge executive.
In sports, the Eagles host Eastern Illinois tonight in Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 6 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police are investigating two drive-by shootings in Floyd County. According to WYMT, Floyd County Sheriff's deputies said sometime between 7:50 and 8 p.m. Monday night, someone driving by fired shots at a home on Prater Creek Road. The second shooting happened on Tuesday night around 11:45 p.m. This shooting happened around half a mile from where the first one occurred. Bullets hit a car and a home. Anyone with information can contact Kentucky State Police Post 9 at 606-433-7711.
Eight suspects connected to the shooting deaths of two Winchester teenagers appeared in front of a judge today. According to WKYT, Matthew Carman, Ronnie Ellis, Denzel Hill, Darian Skinner, Michaela Buford, Julia Richardson, and Jessica Burton pled not guilty. All the suspects are charged in connection with a shooting on November 7th. Adriana Castro and Kayla Holland, both 16 years old, were killed. The Winchester Sun reports Carman, Ellis, Hill, and Skinner were each indicted on two counts of murder. Police say the four men fired shots, killing the two teens. Buford was indicted with complicity to commit murder, and Richardson was indicted with tampering with physical evidence. Two others, Brian McIntosh and Jessica Burton, were indicted for first-degree hindering apprehension related to the arrest of Matthew Carman. Carman, Ellis, Hill, Skinner, Buford, and Richardson will appear in front of a judge again on March 15th. A hearing for McIntosh and Burton has been set for January 18th.
Another Boyd County escapee has been found. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Four men escaped from the Boyd County Detention Center last week. Two of them have now been apprehended. The Daily Independent reports 31-year-old Joseph Salyers was found Wednesday evening on Jason Road. The Catlettsburg Police Department, Ashland Police Department, and Kentucky State Police worked together to arrest Salyers. Salyers is among the 11 who escaped the detention center in 2017. 21-year-old Isaiah Baer was captured by police last week shortly after the escape. 21-year-old Austin Childers and 33-year-old Thomas Bentley are still on the run. This is Cody Robinson with WMKY News.
A man has been sentenced for a DUI that caused the death of a retired Boyd County deputy sheriff. WSAZ reports 43-year-old Robert Means was sentenced to 3 to 15 years in jail on Wednesday. Police say his blood alcohol content level was 0.104 when he collided with a car driven by former deputy Philip Sloan in June of 2016. Sloan died from his injuries roughly 5 months later, less than a year after his retirement from the Boyd County Sheriff's Office. In addition to his stint in jail, Means will have to pay a $3,000 fine. He'll be eligible for parole in 3 years.
Kentucky will be paid thousands by retail giant Kmart to resolve a case of Medicaid fraud. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Between 2004 and 2014, Kmart's pharmacies, along with many others across the nation, began selling generic drugs at a discounted rate, usually $4 for a 30-day supply. Kmart was found guilty by a federal court in Illinois of charging people with a federal health care plan more than their cash-paying customers. Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear's Office of Medicaid Fraud and Abuse worked with several other states and the U.S. Justice Department to make a deal with Kmart. The company will pay Kentucky $415,000, with $100,000 of that going to the state's Medicaid program. The rest will cover Kentucky's Medicaid obligations to the federal government. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Tillen Johnson.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A Moorhead lawmaker says turmoil in the state house over who is actually the speaker is a huge distraction and is keeping business at a standstill. House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins tells Spectrum News the pension crisis, the need for tax reform, and a $1 billion revenue shortfall need to be addressed quickly. Adkins says a challenging session has been made greater with the sexual harassment allegations of Jeff Hoover, as well as who is the true leader of the House.
There's no question that there is distraction anytime you've got technically an acting speaker who is technically the speaker pro tem who is presiding over this chamber. I think from, you know, the institution itself, it's casting some confusion and really kind of overshadowing the real issues that are here facing us during this session.
Adkins and the Democratic caucus believe it's best for all concerned in the chamber that Jeff Hoover step aside and the House body elect a new speaker.
A special bipartisan committee will decide what to do about a complaint by eight lawmakers seeking to oust Kentucky's GOP House Speaker after he secretly settled a sexual harassment complaint with a female legislative aide. The formal disciplinary charges filed Wednesday against Jeff Hoover include sexual harassment, creating a hostile work environment, and using taxpayer resources to hide the allegations from the public. In November, Hoover said he would resign as speaker but keep his seat in the legislature. But Tuesday, Hoover said he was only temporarily stepping aside as speaker, quote, until further notice. Hoover told the Associated Press he believes the complaint is motivated by politics.
Republican leaders have been adamant that pension reform should top the agenda in the beginning weeks of the 2018 session, but a revised bill has not yet surfaced. WUKY's Josh James reports.
With a daunting biennial budget process and possible tax reform on the horizon, some GOP lawmakers say it's imperative to deal with pensions first. But with a bill yet to materialize, discussions remain behind closed doors. Senate President Robert Stivers and Acting House Speaker David Osborne told reporters Wednesday that lawmakers are making progress.
We're working on it. We want to get everything in place, make sure we have all the numbers and facts, and then hopefully very soon we will roll something out.
People will have time to read the bill, as will our members. We've said all along that our members will have adequate time to understand the bill and communicate with their constituents.
Stiver said the final product will incorporate suggestions made from different groups, but stopped short of specifics. The Republican leader has said without pension reform, the budget will be, quote, draconian. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A new poll finds a significant percentage of Kentuckians support raising the state's cigarette tax by $1 a pack. Ben Chandler is executive director of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, which funded the poll through the American Heart Association. It finds that 69% of registered Kentucky voters support increasing the cigarette tax instead of boosting the state sales tax for groceries or services. Chandler says, as it is, Kentucky's cigarette tax rate is far below the national average.
The tobacco lobby has been strong enough to keep it down at 60 cents a pack, which is one of the lowest rates in the nation. New York taxes it at well over $5 a pack, and the national average is $1.71 a pack. The legislature, I think, is interested in doing it, and it remains to be seen whether they will actually follow through.
Chandler says the state desperately needs the income from an increased cigarette tax. It would generate about $250 million in revenue each year.
Overcrowding in county detention centers has some officials worried about the financial strain on taxpayers. The Carter County Detention Center is a 125-bed facility, but is currently housing over 200 inmates. Judge Executive Mike Malone says as the number of county inmates increases, room for state and federal inmates decreases.
The courts could go to home incarceration with ankle monitors. They could put them, you know, there are some counties where they put them on work details, and I'm not telling the courts how to run their operation, but they're going to create a physical crisis, not just for Carter County, but for all of them, if it keeps on going the way it's going.
CCDC has a contract with the government to house and transport both state and federal inmates, which helps offset the cost of housing local offenders.
Saying he believes the county needs experienced leadership more now than ever before, Harry Clark has announced that he's running again for Rowan Judge Executive. Clark is a former magistrate who previously ran for the judge's office in 2014. He and three other candidates lost in the Democratic primary to Dr. Walter Blevins, who later won the general election. Clark thinks the county has been too reactive in the past to situations and says his main goal as judge executive would be to implement an aggressive growth plan.
You know, we're increasing in population. I think we should look out in the out years and plan on where we want to be in 15 years from now. And then we need to make some check marks along the way and see where we're at in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because we're going to have to grow our services. Our ambulance service, the sheriff's department, all these services, as you know, has to grow along with our growth.
Clark says Rowan County also needs to work more closely with the city of Moorhead in making changes that will improve the lives of the area's residents. Clark will be opposed in this year's Democratic primary by current Deputy Judge Executive Lincoln Caudill.
Even though we haven't seen much snow so far this winter in northeastern Kentucky, road crews from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet aren't letting their guard down. Alan Blair is the spokesman for the Cabinet's District 9 office in Flemingsburg. According to Blair, those charged with keeping the region's highways free of snow and ice remain at the ready, even though they haven't had much to do so far.
We've been able to mobilize our crews in times to get them out and take care of these smaller snowstorms. We haven't had very trackable snow. It's just been, you know, an inch, less than an inch a lot of times, and we've been able to treat the roads, and we haven't done as much plowing as usual in the winter. So far, we've had a light snow response.
However, Blair says those incidents have provided the district's crews with some important practice for the possible time that a major snowstorm hits the area.
And speaking of weather-related information, the Rowan County school system is on a two-hour delay for Friday, and the following schools will be closed due to weather: Floyd County, Johnson County, Wolf, Bell, McCreary County Head Start are all going to be closed. Estill and Martin County will be closed to students, but the staff should report on time for a professional learning day. Lawrence, McCreary, and Lee County schools will be closed but have non-traditional instruction days. You can view updated school closing on our website at WMKY.org.
Retired racehorses are spending their days at Old Friends Thoroughbred Farm in Lexington, and they're cold. With temperatures dropping, the trainers are prepping the horses for the winter months. Michael Bowen cares for War Emblem and Derby Silver. He intends to protect them from the frigid weather.
And they get extra hay in this weather, too, because the metabolizing the hay and eating the hay keeps their system going. And once you keep their system going, they can stay a little bit warmer and a lot healthier.
Bowen tells WKYT the horses are able to adapt and they have very little to worry about.
An emergency shelter in Winchester is making extra room for people who need to get out of the cold. WKYT reports the Beacon of Hope shelter is near capacity, currently housing about 70 people. Despite the full house, president and founder Michael Bradford says they try not to turn anyone away from a hot meal and a warm bed.
With the cold weather, we've had a lot of people coming in, and the phone rings constantly. Do you have room? Do you have room? With the way the temperatures are, we try not to turn anybody away. We do our best not to turn them away.
Bradford says the shelter cannot guarantee everyone a long-term stay, but anyone who comes to the shelter before 12:30 a.m. and needs a place to sleep can do so for the night. The shelter operates on donations and currently needs financial contributions, along with blankets and pillows.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 6 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs around 18. Tomorrow night, clear with lows around 5. On Saturday, at the start of our weekend, sunny skies, highs around 21. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 9. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and warmer with highs around 40, but overnight a 90% chance of rain or freezing rain blows in. We'll see lows around 31, and on Monday, at the start of next week, a 100% chance of rain and freezing rain. Highs around 39 degrees. It's currently 18 degrees in Ashland as well as in Winchester. It's 17 right now in Inez, 18 in Flemingsburg, 21 in Lexington, and 19 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment this afternoon, the Boyd County Fiscal Court held a special meeting last night to discuss the ongoing problems with their county jail. WMKY's Sean Delaney has the story.
The only thing that we felt we could do is express no confidence in the jailer and also request to resign.
The Boyd County Jail is in crisis. In this past year, the facility has seen multiple inmate overdoses. Corrections officers have been assaulted. A riot crippled the facility this past fall. The Department of Corrections has removed all state prisoners not facing local charges, and there have been several escapes. At the time of this original broadcast, there are still two fugitives on the run after four inmates fled their cells just before the new year. The mounting issues at the jail have led that voice you just heard, Judge Executive Steve Toler, and the rest of the Boyd County Fiscal Court to call for the resignation of Jailer Joe Burchett. According to Toler, Burchett was first elected to his position in 2003 and is now under investigation.
Our Commonwealth attorney has the ability to call a grand jury to express concerns about a malfeasance case against the jailer. In other words, he's not performing his duties as required.
If indicted, Burchett will be brought to court. That, according to Toler, is not what the fiscal court is looking for.
Our only concern is this process does take time, and, you know, as long as a year to act out. So we felt that it was important that we say to the community that we do not have confidence in our jailer, and we request him to resign.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court said they have identified several qualified candidates to replace Burchett on a temporary basis. Ultimately, however, it's up to the jailer to decide whether or not to step down. By state law, a county jailer is defined as a constitutional officer. They cannot be removed from their position by the county government. They can only be voted out of the office. But according to the Ashland Daily Independent, Burchett has indicated that he won't step down. His term is set to end in 2018, and his attorney says the jailer will finish out that term. He does not plan on seeking re-election. All the while, the jail is set to lose as much as $700,000 in revenue from not housing any state inmates. This on top of a $1 million loss in revenue from the county landfill and a $500,000 loss from AK Steel at Ashland Works presents a significant test for the county's budget. The Boyd County Fiscal Court will hold a regular meeting at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
It's 4:48 and 18 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good day to you. This is WMKY Sports, and I'm Sean Delaney. It's OVC doubleheader action tonight at Johnson Arena as Moorhead State's basketball teams do battle with Eastern Illinois. The men's contest tips off the action at 6 o'clock, while MSU is just 4-6 this season. 0-2 in conference, the Eagles are 4-0 at home. However, Coach Preston Spradlin isn't taking a win over the Panthers for granted.
Tell you what, it's going to be a war because they're in the OVC and all these games matter. And they are coming in there with the mindset that they understand they've got to play tough and physical to beat Moorhead State, and that won't change. So we've got to match and surpass that intensity.
Eastern Illinois is also winless in two OVC starts this season and 4-9 overall. The Panthers beat MSU 84-82 in overtime last season in Charleston.
The Morehead State women's game with EIU will start at around 8:15 tonight. And opening a two-game homestand, Coach Greg Todd is happy to have his 10-5 Eagles playing at Johnson Arena for the first time since November 28th.
Been a while, and we're excited to get back home and get some games under our belt. And it's a nice conference season, and need to definitely take care of business.
After tonight's game, the Morehead women will look forward to hosting SIU Edwardsville Saturday. This evening, though, the Eagles hope to feast on an Eastern Illinois squad that's just 1-12 and 0-2 in the OVC. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari believes his Wildcats showed some important resilience in winning their SEC road opener last night at LSU 74-71. Down by 5 at halftime with Sasha Kiala-Jones, Hamadou Diallo, and Nick Richards all dealing with the flu, Cal's number 17 Cats still found a way to pull out a victory.
We gave them some chances, but I liked our will to win at the end. Told them after, probably every game we play, my hope is that we have a chance to win at the end. But there's not going to be blowouts in this league, I'm sorry. League's too good.
P.J. Washington and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander led the Wildcats with 18 points, now at 12-2 with an SEC mark of 2-0. Kentucky hosts number 23, Tennessee, Saturday. It's a big game tonight for the Rowan County girls basketball team, with his group's 61st district seeding hopes on the line. Coach Ed Jones will lead his 5-6 Lady Vikings over to Menifee County to face off with the 8-5 Lady Cats.
They're playing pretty well, so I think it'll be a challenge. It'll be a good ball game, but here's my key, I think, is that we have played such good competition. So I'm hoping that the schedule we put together and the reason we put it together early in the year, I'm hoping that we've learned a lot and we can go up there and it'll pay dividends.
The Lady Vikes will be out to avenge their 3 losses to Menifee last season. As for the Rowan boys, they're back in action tomorrow night as they visit Fleming County. Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant is donating $3 million to the University of Texas, where he won National Player of the Year honors in his lone season before turning pro. The donation will support the Longhorns basketball program at the school Center for Sports Leadership and Innovation. Part of the Texas basketball facility will bear Durant's name. An MLB.com columnist is applauding the Cincinnati Reds' recent signing of Brewers free agent pitcher Jared Hughes. According to Richard Justice, the right-hander will be a great addition to the team's bullpen.
He's a power guy, 95-mile-an-hour fastball, 86-mile-an-hour slider. That became pretty much his second pitch last season. I would guess with the Reds, he'll be the eighth-inning guy to slide in there at the front of the middle guys to get the ball into the hands of Iglesias. That he would get a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option tells you what position has dominated this free agent market.
Over the last 4 seasons, Hughes has appeared in 273 games, 10th most for big league relievers. He also has an ERA of 2.55. According to ESPN, the Miami Marlins are now listening to offers for 2 of their young stars. Catcher JT Realmuto is reportedly unhappy that new CEO Derek Jeter has traded away Giancarlo Stanton, D. Gordon, and Marcell Ozuna in order to cut payroll. Even though Realmuto only has 3 years of service time and cannot demand a trade, his representatives have told the Marlins he'd like to play elsewhere in 2018. 26-year-old Christian Yelich also wants out of Miami. He has 4 years and over $44 million left on his contract. And finally, in sports, Tiger Woods is playing twice in California over the next 6 weeks as he begins another comeback on the PGA Tour from back surgery. Wood announced today that he will play the Farmers Insurance Open on January 25th at Torrey Pines, the San Diego course, where he has won 8 times. That includes the 2008 U.S. Open, his 14th most recent major. He also says he will play the Genesis Open at Riviera in Los Angeles that starts on February 15th. And that's it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sean Delaney.
This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY.
The Dow Industrials broke above the 25,000 level for the first time, tying the fastest 1,000-point move in its history following the release of stronger-than-expected jobs data. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 152.45 at 25,075.13. The S&P 500 was up 10.93 at 2723.99. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 12.38, finishing at 7,077.92. And all three major indices closed at new record highs. The U.S. private sector did add 250,000 jobs for the month of December, according to ADP, and this was well above expectations of 190,000. And, of course, tomorrow we will have the Labor Department's monthly jobs report, which will be released before the opening tomorrow morning. Other economic data released today included the IHS Market Services PMI, which hit a seven-month low. And your financial sector was particularly strong today, showing a gain of one-tenth of a percent, or almost 1%. And the financials are, of course, considered a big beneficiary of the new tax law coming into play in 2018. In corporate news, Tesla reported fourth-quarter auto delivery numbers that fell short of many Wall Street estimates, and the stock closed down almost 1%. In the commodities markets, oil was up almost a half a percent at $61.91 a barrel, while gold was up four-tenths of a percent, finishing at $1,324 an ounce. Overseas, stocks in Europe were very strong as the Stock 600 index was up 0.9%, and in Asia, stocks were strong as well. The Nikkei soared 3.25%, and Shanghai was up 0.5%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were GE and IBM. The worst performers were Intel and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Arconic, and the worst performers were L Brands and Walgreens. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 9 cents at 73.68, CSX down 27 cents at 56.78, AEP down 85 cents at 70.95, AK Steel up 21 cents at 6.55, Marathon Petroleum up 8 cents at 68.69, and U.S. Bancorp was up 40 cents to finish at 54.97. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Tomorrow afternoon at 12:30, tune in for a special broadcast of the monthly luncheon presented by the Moorhead Round County Chamber of Commerce. Recorded by Moorhead State Public Radio today at the Moorhead Conference Center, the guest speaker is Dr. Stephen Pruitt, Commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Education. Listen to Dr. Pruitt's comments tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 following midday news here on WMKY.
There are several school closings in our region already set for tomorrow. Rowan County Schools will be on a two-hour delay on Friday, and looks like Estill, Floyd, Jackson, Johnson, Knott County Schools will all be closed on Friday. Lawrence, Lee, Leslie, Lincoln, Martin, Owsley, and Pulaski County Schools are all closed. Rockcastle County Schools are closed, and Wolf County Schools will be closed on Friday.
Turning to the weather once more, tonight partly cloudy skies with lows around 6 degrees. Stay warm tonight. Tomorrow partly cloudy skies, highs around 18. Tomorrow night clear with lows around 5. On Saturday it'll be sunny, highs around 21 degrees. Saturday night mostly clear, lows around 9. And on Sunday it'll be mostly cloudy and warmer with highs around 40. But that night a 90% chance of freezing rain blows in. It's currently 18 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Chuck Moraz, Ellen Barnett, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke all pitched in. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sean Delaney. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHI NAS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.